Good morning. We are at Long Reach, West Virginia, Saturday, May the 1st, 1965. Your announcer is Frederick Way, Jr. This is a wonderful spring sunshiny day, balmy and warm. 50 steam whistles are reposing horizontally on fresh green grass. They look like spent artillery shells connected into doublets, triplets, and some even into sprays. Most of them haven't been used for 10 years or 20 years. One of them probably hasn't had steam in it since the Civil War. These are from old Ohio and Mississippi steamboats. They were the voices of those boats. They were as familiar to river valley dwellers as the catbird, the redbird, and the robin. Now, the idea today is to blow these old whistles once more. Each whistle about to be blown is first lifted to a vertical position and turned on the threads of an upright steam pipe until it's snug. Right under the whistle is a lever valve. There's a 30-foot length rope tied to the lever arm. The operator paces back these 30 feet, grabs a free rope end in his hands, and gives a moderately gentle tug. The whistle is about at body level. Now here's what happens. Now that whistle has character. It belonged to the Pittsburgh towboat Monga, M-O-N-G-A-H, built in 1937. Before that time, it was on the wooden hull Pittsburgh towboat Voyager. This takes it back to 1885. I might report that most of the 500 persons watching this show are apparently delighted with the result just achieved. They say it sounded real natural. Next on the agenda is a true monster attached to its own special big steam pipe. Walter McCoy weighed it yesterday, and it tips the scales at 480 pounds. It belonged to the biggest steam paddle wheel towboat in the world, the Sprague. The Sprague was built in 1902 to guide acres of coal barges down the Ohio and Mississippi rivers to New Orleans. It still exists, moored at Vicksburg, Mississippi, as a floating tourist attraction, in case you would want to go see it. But the old whistle is here today, and when you hear it, you've heard the voice of the biggest steam whistle ever made for a Mississippi steamboat. One man came all the way from Iowa just to hear that whistle blow again. We'll repeat it before the program ends. The next whistle coming up is from a fairly modern steel-hulled towboat built in 1928, although this whistle didn't appear on her until much later. It belonged to the Weber W. Sebald. The big question is, how did the Weber W. Sebald get it? Some persons claim it was liberated from the wreck of an older boat in March 1945. That's a pretty touchy subject and one we don't care to judge, but this much is so. It sounds a lot like the old Tudor from the J.T. Hatfield, a wildcat banshee chord familiar on the Kanawha River and around Cincinnati dating back to 1880. Here goes. You should have a fishing pole about 10 p.m. on the bank of the Kanawha River to get the right effect on that last one. Then it sounds properly, like a catamount. Next is from the packet Evergreen, which really wasn't much of a packet. More aptly, she was a ferry boat that grew up. This whistle is concocted of a piece of this and a piece of that. Anyhow, the Evergreen was the last of her breed above Cincinnati on the Ohio, and this was in 1943. May I say that the little Evergreen you've just heard had a final E on the end of her name. That's because she was owned by the Green Line of Cincinnati, with green spelled with a final E. There are old river persons who still order green paint with an E on the end. Next is the big towboat, Herbert E. Jones. He, or she, was the very last steam stern wheel towboat built for inland river service in 1940. Originally, he was named Jason, and her longtime skipper those days was Captain Leon Ash. Leon was somewhat of a whistlebug. He acquired this whistle originally from a Cumberland River packet, the Joe Horton Fall. He put it on the Jason. By happy accident, or maybe sheer genius, there is a real sweet chord here. Listen now. First you will hear the steam whistle. Then, mingling with it, you'll discover another soft whistle. Now, what happened here was sheer coincidence. While blowing this whistle, a modern diesel propeller boat came ambling down the Ohio River here at Long Reach, named the Western. Captain Tom Kenny was on watch in the Western's pilot house. He's one of this river gang, belongs to the sons and daughters of pioneer rivermen. Tom, of course, knew about the whistle blow, so he blew a salute or two. You'll be hearing this exchange just as it was taped. What a break. That beep, beep, beep you just heard was a Pittsburgh harbor salute. Down on the lower Mississippi, they blow a New Orleans harbor salute. Three longs answered by three longs, then one long answered by one long. Next is the Homer Smith, a 235-foot-long excursion boat built in 1914, the pride of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, named for a Point Pleasant man. Another Point Pleasant man created the whistle in the Point Pleasant Machine Works. Point Pleasant's population in 1914 was about 2,500. Just about all 2,500 climbed aboard the Homer Smith for our first excursion. After they sold her in 1928, the whistle went to the Chris Green. After that boat quit, it was used briefly on the Delta Queen. Now it's owned by the Public Library in Cincinnati. We checked it out like a book to get it here. And here she blows. To a little confusion on this next one. According to the story, it was on the towboat American, and she got it from the Denora. Well, be this so, the Denora quit running in 1948, so the American didn't own it too long a time, for she quit shortly after that. On the Denora, it was the best window rattler on the Monongahela River. It has a raspy, deep voice, as you'll see. Now hear this. The Jones & Loughlin Steel Corporation built the towboat Sailor in 1924. She had the most power and the biggest paddle wheel on the Monongahela. some bright mechanic put together two big whistle barrels. By happy accident or sheer genius, he got a dead ringer for what was called the old Bonanza whistle, dating back to 1876. So close your eyes and you'll hear the two side wheelers named Bonanza, the City of Cincinnati, the Kentucky, the Steel Hull Side Wheel Cincinnati, and the Sailor. And here we go. The Cincinnati District U.S. Engineers built a fleet of likely towboats back about 1912-1916. They named them for Indian tribes: Ottawa, Miami, Cayuga, Iroquois, Guyandot. The whistle from the Iroquois survives and is about to be blown. There's a high hill just across the Ohio River, and it's bouncing a fine echo. Echo is really a part of hearing a steamboat whistle. Best echoes come at night, just about fog time, around 3 in the morning. A lot of fun blowing a big, long whistle at 3 a.m., listening to the echo bounce and figuring how many shore natives you've wakened up. Some river towns passed laws prohibiting steamboat whistling at their wharves, even as early as 1853. That was less than 10 years after the first whistles were blown. I don't know who Lucy Coles was, but without much doubt she lived at Ashland, Kentucky. The towboat Lucy Coles was no fashion plate. One smokestack, one propeller, a pilot house twice too big. The boat was built in 1881 and was based there at Ashland many, many years. Now here comes Lucy. The original of this next whistle does not exist, but it is known to date back to at least 1870. Various copies were made from time to time, 5 or 6 in all, and such popularity must be deserved. Mrs. W. O. Harrington, aged 91, came to the whistle blow just to hear this. She remembered it as a girl on the side wheel express number 2. It is popularly known as the St. Lawrence whistle, for a side wheeler of that name which wore it for a long period. This particular copy, made by Luther Chapman, a railroad engineer on the N&W, was last used on the towboat George M. Verity. A roster of all the steamboats which have used this cord is lengthy. The Greenland, Tom Green, Chris Green, Courier, several Ohio River ferry boats, and so on. This is how it sounded on the towboat George M. Verity. Now, the Tom Green had a duplicate of this. One day, coming under a Cincinnati bridge in a flood, she knocked off the little top whistle mounted on top of the center one. A replacement was made, but sad to say, the tone was visibly changed. This is interesting to notice, and now we'll blow the Tom Green whistle. Thank you. of the clearest chords was that of the Ben Hur, later on the packet Liberty. Then it was on a towboat named Mildred on the Tennessee River. Somewhere along the line, one of the whistles was changed. Too bad, too bad. But for old time's sake, we'll give her a blow the way it sounded on the Mildred. There was that off-key. For consolation, we'll give three taps on the Liberty's roof bell, which found its way to the whistle blow. During World War II, 21 identical steam propeller towboats of big size were built for Mississippi and Ohio service, all of them named for World War II battles. One was the Coral Sea, which now will be heard from. What you've just heard is one big single whistle. It is vaguely remindful of the sidewheel Kate Adams down on the Mississippi. The racer Natchez, which raced to Robert E. Lee in 1870, is said to have had a tutor something of this sort. Only Cap Leathers had it mounted inside of one of the smokestacks, saying it was meant to wake up the people on shore, not on a boat. The result was a big buzz, like a bumblebee. Union Barge Line had three identical towboats named Sam Craig, C.W. Talbot, and the J.D. Ayers. Always spotless and white, they were called the Candy Fleet. Coming up now is a whistle from the Sam Craig. Is the towboat O.F. Shearer, operated on the Kanawha and Ohio Rivers 1940-1951. This boat, originally built in 1919, was first called the Victory, and the whistle you'll hear was honored at that time. In all, it was used aboard the boat about 20 years. O.F. Shearer coming up. From the towboat F.M. Staunton, operated out of Charleston, West Virginia, 1930-1938. Charles Curtis, Vice President of the U.S. during the Hoover administration, dedicated Marmette Locks and Dam from this boat on the Kanawha River in 1932. A few years ago, Harry F. White bought a little steam towboat, almost a best pocket edition, called the Detroiter. He steamed her from Portsmouth, Ohio, to his landing on the Upper Kanawha and dismantled her. He kept the whistle, and here he is blowing it. broad jump and hear a whistle one time familiar on the intracoastal waterway between Mobile and New Orleans. The steam tug, for she really was not built like a towboat, had propellers, named Mobile, M-O-B-I-L-E, was built in 1938 for the federal barge lines. The boat was dieselized about 1950 and still runs, but of course she hasn't any use now for a steam whistle. Today it's known as the Charles Zubik, but here's how the Mobile sounded in her steam days.